We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
Ready to go here. Tom Thayer is in for Mike Mulligan today. What was your reaction to John Fox's assessment that the Bears had the worst offseason?
I think it was vindictive. I think John took his voice to ESPN and starts contributing to something that he didn't contribute to any of the media people during his time here. John, you're the one that got rid of Robbie Gould. So you're sitting here harping about Robbie Gould and the kicking situation being in flux because you got rid of him. And then I know that your relationship with Vic Fangio was kind of contentious. It wasn't a brotherhood between coaches. It was Vic Fangio minded the defensive room and you were the head coach.
And he was a defensive guy.
Correct.
Who ceded that power to Vic Fangio because that was the way it worked best.
Right, but Vic Fangio didn't need or want his input into
right.
that room.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
You know, the thing about it is, if I'm an active player, I guarantee you I could beat up every member of the media.
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. A happy Tuesday morning, Chicago, and no one's going to be beating anybody up here this morning. No, not unless Kelly Kroll has a tantrum and goes on Wilson Contreras on us. Good morning, Kelly Kroll, in for Mike Mulligan this morning.
Good morning. I might beat you up. This is early for me.
You might beat me up for getting you up this early,
this
right?
True.
I'm sorry about
there's
that.
There's a reason. That's going to be it.
And, well, there's a good reason you're here, and we're happy that you're here because this is a great day for somebody who covers the Cubs on a regular basis as much as you are kind of embedded in there in the camera well close to the Cubs dugout. This is a good day to be here, Kelly.
Yeah, and lots to talk about.
Lots to talk about. Kelly covers the Cubs for NBC Sports Chicago, does a great job. You recognize her voice. You recognize
Cubbies.
Her face. She's there every day in the clubhouse, in the dugout, on the air. And today is fun because Wilson Contreras did what Wilson Contreras does last night. He got under the skin of his opponent. He also hit a home run. He also carried the Cubs to a victory that they really needed. I think that's what's going to get maybe a little bit lost in all this discussion today on The Score about what happened with Wilson Contreras and the fallout. The Cubs won a game, and John Lester pitched well.
Yeah, vintage John Lester last night. And Wilson Contreras set the tone for his team, and that was we're up against another one of the best in the National League, a team we very much and could see down the road. Let's go to work. And this is who Wilson Contreras is. Love him, hate him. This is the fire that is within him when he steps on the field. Does it look bad at times? Could it have been done differently? Sure, absolutely. But nonetheless, he got the job done.
Cubs win 8-3. Wilson Contreras hits a home run, drives in another run with a single, 2-for-4, 3 runs batted in. But it will be the game that will be remembered for what he said to Tyler Flowers, the Braves catcher, former White Sox, all-around good guy by most accounts. And look, he was behind the plate. He did a nice job of framing pitches. That's what he's known for.
Exactly.
And the conversation, I think, began when Tyler Flowers kind of injected himself in the conversation between Wilson and the umpire, and Wilson was questioning some of the calls. And then Wilson goes and hits a home run, says something to Flowers, pounds his chest rounding first, says something to the dugout, and then Ted Barrett steps in before the Braves could, get too aggressive. No baseball fight's going to get too aggressive. But then you got Jeff Francoeur shooting his mouth off in the Braves broadcast booth about wanting to punch him, and it was a brouhaha is what they call that in baseball. It's a brouhaha. And you were there, and you probably weren't terribly surprised that Wilson Contreras was right at center of something like this again, but it was fun.
Yeah, not really. That's my exact interpretation. I think Wilson was saying something to Barrett about, you know, the framing job that Flowers had done, really meaning Flowers was doing that good of a job to get a couple of strike calls that Wilson felt like he wasn't getting on the other side of things. He said something. It sounds like Flowers, yeah, got back after him a bit. And then, you know, Wilson won that battle and he let him know it. And from there, it was on. But no, with guys like Jason Hayward, who have been part of the Braves organization, with Wilson Contreras having a younger brother in the Braves
William Contreras, he's a double A catcher.
Which is pretty ironic. That is funny. Hearing that later, how he was like, I would be enemies with my brother if he were the one. But the second I step on the field, I don't have any friends anymore. And that is how Wilson looks at this. I mean, he goes to work. He goes to battle the second he hits a field.
Well, this is what Wilson had to say right after the game when asked about what he said to Tyler Flowers and how it all went down.
Oh, no, I just basically told him to do his job. I do mine. That's, I don't know why he got pissed off, because that's all I say. You do your job. I do mine. Yeah, you know, he's great behind the plate, but to be honest, those pitches weren't even close to the strike zone. He got mad because I was talking to the umpire about that, and he jumped into the conversation. So I just told him to do his job. Yeah, I guess. I have nothing against nobody. Those things are going to happen in the game a lot, and I don't think this is the first time it happens against the Braves.
Wilson Contreras is one of those guys that when he is on your team, every team's got one of these guys. You love him. You absolutely love his competitive fire. You love the way that he makes, you know, he brings it every single day. And we'll talk more about how this evolution of the season has become Wilson Contreras' sort of intensity tour. And he has brought it every single day. When he's your opponent, you can't stand it because he gets under your skin. And he irritates you, and he agitates, and you don't like the way he shows you up. But when you're in Chicago, you appreciate what he brings to the Cubs, because the Cubs, frankly, need that kind of player on this team.
It was interesting. On the way to the park yesterday, I was listening both sides and to the conversations going on, is why are the Cubs flat? There was this whole word being thrown out there quite a bit, is why is this team flat? Why
right.
does it feel like they're winning some games, but then they're losing a game, and they just really can't get any traction right now, and they're just flat. Well, he goes out and does something like that, and it's not flat anymore. You know, I mean, that's the emotion behind Wilson Contreras, and it all comes from a place of wanting nothing more than to do what's best for his team.
That's really interesting, because we had talked yesterday about the Cubs going through a 3-3 stretch, still in first place, getting ready to host the Braves in what some yep. people consider maybe a playoff preview, and it felt like they had not been 3-3 and they weren't in first place, and you wondered about the viability of them as a World Series team. They needed something. They needed a spark.
Was it going to be Javi Baez's home run?
Right.
Is it now going to be Wilson Contreras getting everybody riled up? I mean, that's the thing. They're looking for something right now, and I think, you know, nobody has the beat of the team better than the catcher who's behind it all.
And nobody has the beat of this team better than you do, so it's good that you're here today. We'll continue to talk about Wilson Contreras throughout the show. We have plenty of other stuff to talk about. Len Casper at 7:20 to talk more about it, and obviously we will pick your brain. But also the White Sox had a big game in Boston last night. Lucas Giolito, he battled. He was so-so again, second straight so-so outing. They lost the game in the ninth inning. They blew a 5-3 lead. They were walked off with an infield single. You don't see that happen all the time. But you had a situation. Tim Anderson had a ground ball, and he could have probably made the play at third base or tried to make a play at third base. I think that he tried to throw out Marco Hernandez at first, and it was not a situation that worked out well. Sox lose 6-5. That was a tough one, because they did have a lead late.
And Tim Anderson, young guy, right? Like, I mean, he'll learn from that. But Lucas Giolito, you got to wonder, after a couple of so-so starts, I think we're going to hear from him, right, David?
And, yep.
I don't know. I don't think, to me, what he's done up to this point is still just, I think he'll recapture that. Boston's a good team, man.
Tonight, Carson Fulmer scheduled to start a bullpen day for the White Sox. Cringeworthy start. Yeah, he goes against David Price. The only person happy about that is the Vanderbilt alumni coordinator, because it's Vanderbilt on Vanderbilt tonight in Boston. Game two of that series, and the Sox lose. And now they have lost three straight. And really, two of those three that they have lost in this losing streak or games they frankly could have won. The Bulls, they unveiled Coby White yesterday and Daniel Gafford, the first two draft picks at the Advocate Center. We will talk to Coby White here at 8:20. Kelly, you have covered the Bulls. That'll be fun.
Looking forward to that. Yeah, I thought the introduction press conference was interesting. You get to hear both of those young guys talk about how excited they are to try and make an impression on the Bulls. A lot of soul talk, a lot of spirit talk from Coach Boylan, and I just, yeah.
I'm
looking forward to listening to Coby White talk. And he did bring up, if I'm not mistaken, the sit-down interview or at least the conversation he had with Boylan that he really appreciated. So I want to ask him more about that.
Yep, Jim went to the board and convinced him, and he had him at hello, apparently. So the Blackhawks also introduced their first-round draft pick, Kirby Dach. He was in town with his parents, adorable hockey family from Saskatoon, and that was fun.
They made their way out to Wrigley last night.
He threw out the first pitch.
Sure did.
We'll hear more about that later because you were there again to observe that. They also made a trade, sneaky trade. It was really, I think, a pretty sneaky good trade. Calvin DeHaan, the defenseman from the Hurricanes, headed to Chicago. Blackhawks give up Anton Forsberg, an expendable goalie, and Gustav Forsling, who's a defenseman. They have a surplus of defensemen right now. So I think that's a very good trade. We'll talk more about that if we can get some hockey talk in here, because Calvin DeHaan is a responsible defenseman that will help the Blackhawks. Chris Cook from Blackhawks.com will join us at 7:40. Also, the Women's World Cup. U.S. beats Spain. USA. USA. 2-1. Two penalties from Megan Rapinoe, and the United States defeats Spain 2-1. So we got a lot going on, Kelly.
A lot going on. It's a good Tuesday morning.
Are you ready for the 5 at 5?
I can't wait.
All right. Kelly Kroll in for Mike Mulligan. Mully off today. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
After last night's strong outing, is John Lester back? And was Wilson Contreras justified in talking a little trash after his home run?
All right, let's start with Lester. I think that you feel relieved that you saw the guy that you remembered, and you saw the guy that was different from the guy who was there the previous three outings when he was giving up, 13 earned runs in his three previous starts. That was not the John Lester that we're used to seeing. He goes through this a little bit every year, and maybe this was his lull, and now he's out of it because he was in command. And I thought that he had really good command, and it wasn't an overwhelming, complete game, anything like that, but it was good enough, and it was reassuring more than anything. So that was when you go six innings and you give up two runs and you strike out seven and you don't walk anybody, that's the John Lester the Cubs need to see. As for Contreras, we'll talk about this as this show goes on, but that is who he is, and I think that you grudgingly or maybe reluctantly embrace that idea. We heard from Theo Epstein before the game, and he talked about the Cubs being a flatter period. They had not been good lately. They had not been real consistent, and they've been waiting for something to happen. They've been 13-17, a record over the last 5 weeks. That's not good enough, and so you're waiting for this spark we talked about. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is it, because and this is the guy to provide it, because if he's your opponent, you hate him, and if he is your teammate, you love him, and they better love him. They better love him warts and all, because this is what he does to your team. He can hit home runs. He can drive in three runs in a game that you want to win against a playoff contender like the Braves. And he can galvanize a team and wake you up, because the Cubs were getting a little sleepy. And last week they were a little sloppy. And last night it was a clean win.
Yeah, absolutely. John Lester, I think this is the turning of the corner for John Lester, who last night when I asked him about just what was different for him, it was funny. His answer was not trying so hard. You get into this rut and sometimes you try to be too perfect with your pitches. And he said in a way that he just tried a little less, which I think is funny. But for a guy who's been doing it as long as he has, as you mentioned, David, the command was there. That backdoor cutter worked for them all night long. And to do it against a Braves lineup is saying something that has been playing so well. And so I think for John Lester, who always seems to come out on the other side of this when he goes into these ruts, and he knew it was just a matter of time, went back to the drawing board, never felt like it was a drastic change that needed to be made or anything mechanical. So from with him sitting in front of us last night saying he felt good and he feels like he's turning the corner, I think you have to look at it as that. And as far as Wilson Contreras goes, was he justified in talking a little trash? This one's hard for me. I think this is who Wilson Contreras is. In that moment, I think he felt like Tyler Flowers inserted himself into a conversation that wasn't meant for him. His emotions got the best of him, and he let him have it.
So you're Kelly Kroll, you're NBC Sports Chicago. You're on the field after the game, and Wilson Contreras is the guy you interviewed post-game. What's the first question you asked him?
I said, what transpired during that at-bat? You know, you got the offense going in the second inning, 16th home run of the season, and there was a tense moment. What transpired?
And he was unapologetic. No. I mean, he wasn't like sheepish about it necessarily.
No, he almost grinned. In fact, he did grin as though, like, I knew this question was coming. I'm not really sure how I'm going to answer it quite yet. The truth of the matter is his emotions got the best of him. And as John Lester said, it is what it is. This is who Wilson Contreras is. And over time, I think you think 27-year-old right now, just turned 27, and at some point he may learn to harness this emotion a bit more, but at least he's learned how to channel it already, I think. And that is what he did last night. And he, exactly what you said, David, is that they have been looking for something. They've been searching for something. I think Cubs fans thought it might be the Javi Baez 3-run homer on Sunday, and then turn around and Wilson Contreras against the best team in the NL East goes to work and sets the tone for the rest of the game.
And there were a few follow-ups from Kelly, too. She didn't back down. She just didn't let him just brush it to the side. Let me go back at you one more time about this one. I got to get the truth here. That looked like vintage John Lester last night. And that Braves lineup, keep in mind, that is, look at all the numbers. That's pretty much a top-five offense in baseball, and they're going to be around for a very long time. And we all know that Lester can be very streaky, so you're hoping this is the start of one of his very positive runs, but I need to see more. I mean, we're coming off a stretch of 7 starts with an ERA north of 7, opponents with an OPS of 1,000, and I also need to see it on the road. We know he can dominate at Wrigley. We've seen that. But this year at home, ERA of 2.42, but on the road, it balloons up. So I also want to see it away from Clark at Addison out of Lester. As far as Contreras, was he justified? We know what they want us to know about all the conversations that are going throughout the game. And when it happens in baseball, it ends up being a story. But this happens in every other sport all game long, and I'm for it. Mm-hmm. I love it. It makes it more entertaining, and we're going to see more and more of this, it seems, as the years go on. So I'm fine with with what was going on and when he was thumping his chest rounding first base.
Well, first of all, John Lester, this is really easy. No, he's not back. He's 35 years old. He's a mediocre pitcher at this point. He is. Look at his numbers.
I know he's 35 years old. I don't know if mediocre applies.
You think he's a mediocre pitcher at this point? Was he like a 1.5 WAR player last season for the Cubs? I mean, he is what he is at this point. He's going to go out and he's going to be really good sometimes, like he was last night. And he's also going to go through patches where he can't get the ball over the plate. He's not getting the calls from the umpire, and he's getting hit pretty hard. I mean, I think it's going to be really up and down with John Lester at this point. That's just what he is at this point in his career. And I think if you're the Cubs, you know, when they signed him all these years back, people thought the last few years of the contract would look really bad. They're not looking as bad as you might have thought, but he has regressed quite a bit. And frankly, at this point, you know, He's just a guy there, and he's going to be really inconsistent. So, no, he's not back. You don't get back
after
35 years old.
I don't like it. I'll tell you what. I hear you in that he is never going to be – I mean, it's hard to find your prime when you're 30-some years old.
You're telling me.
Right? Oh, I know, right? But what you are going to get from John Lester is a guy who has adjusted all along his career and has continued to figure it out and go out and compete and set a tone for the team. And that, I think, I hear you, even when he doesn't have his best stuff, though, the guys behind him, they want to see him on the mound.
No,
I think that alone speaks more than mediocre.
I agree with you there. Maybe mediocre was a little bit harsh, but he is a very intelligent guy, and he's always going to go in there with the best game plan, and he's always going to compete, no doubt about that. Just saying he's back.
I guess I'm just not betting against him, right?
I like that Kelly called you out, Kevin.
You know what? We need more of that on
bad
this
take.
Program.
Tuesday morning. Guys, I'm still cranky.
We need more combativeness. As far as Wilson Contreras goes, listen, I like Wilson Contreras a lot as a player. I hear he's a good guy. He's very involved with charitable things like that. And you know, you never heard a bad word about this guy. I think talking trash to the catcher after you hit a home run off the pitcher might be taking it a step far. Listen, if you're a Cub fan, I get it. You love it. You want to see more of it. But think if this was Ryan Braun doing this, can you imagine the fit that people would have been built into? So it is sort of an A.J. Pierzynski type thing where you love this guy if he's on your team. You hate him if he's not. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Cubs fan. I love Wilson Contreras. I want to see more of the antics. I want to see more of his just insanity, you know, going 200 miles an hour at all times on the field. So I have no problem with it whatsoever. But just remember this. If Yadi Molina or somebody else does this to the Cubs later on, just keep that same energy and just remember, hark back to this day.
I'd love to sit here on June 25th and say, John Lester is back. I mean, but we just can't say that yet. Yes, it was a nice outing. Two runs given up, five hits, no walks, struck out seven. He lasted to the sixth inning. That's awesome. Very good outing against the Atlanta Braves, and he always dominates the Braves. But no, you cannot say that he's back. I'm not going to put mediocrity on him, though, like Kevin did initially. I can't say that either. We can't say he's out of the woods in terms of the is John Lester regressing conversation either. We need to see what he has in the next handful of outings. So I'm not going to say he's back, but I'm not going to say John Lester is mediocre just yet. Wilson Contreras, I mean, was he justified with the Tyler Flowers trash talking after he hit the home run? Look, he in the middle of that at bat, you saw him talking to the umpire, going back and forth. The trash talking, as we know, goes on throughout the game. We don't know what else isn't, you know, what is and isn't said throughout an MLB game. So I'm sure I think he's justified. I'm sure there was trash talking throughout the entire at bat. I'm sure Flowers was jawing at him as he was, you know, through the entire at bat. So why not trash talk after you hit the home run? I love it.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
After Lucas Giolito's second so-so start in Boston, has he jeopardized his All-Star status? And what is your level of concern he can regain some consistency before the All-Star break to be the ace that the White Sox need?
Has he jeopardized his All-Star status? Was his All-Star status, can we clarify that? Was it to be the starter of the for the American League?
Hmm.
I mean, was he going to be the starter?
Well, I was thinking just being there.
Or just being there.
Being there.
No, he hasn't jeopardized that. No, he'll be there. He'll be at the Midsummer Classic. He put together too long of a stretch. And, I mean, what are we? We're a week or two away, so one or two starts more. I mean, unless he just completely goes out and has another dud. I mean, he's been so-so against two really good offensive teams. I mean, you know, the Cubs really get up for, clearly. I mean, Atlanta comes to town, same deal. So, no, I think he's fine. But level of concern as to whether he can regain some consistency, what he captured at the start of the year is something pretty special. And we know he went to work this offseason. I think for him that this could just be one of those things where he has to get back online.
I'm a little concerned. I think that when you hear him afterward use the word unacceptable.
I didn't like that.
you know, I maybe he's right. Maybe he's starting to press a little bit. Maybe he's trying to be the perfect pitcher every time out again. Maybe he's thinking too much on the mound. I don't know what it is, but when the bases were loaded and you could see him almost trying to aim the ball again, and you started to wonder, could he get out of his own head? And I think when this comes on the heels of giving up six runs against the Cubs, and then he wasn't sharp last night in a game where really – you know, it was a big stage. Fenway Park is definitely one of those marquee places that, you know, pitchers, you find out a lot about them. And I guess I'm a little concerned only because it came on in succession and right after his Cubs start, which was disappointing.
We judge him a little differently than someone who has the body of work of a, for instance, John Lester. Absolutely.
Absolutely, because I think when you see Lucas Giolito walking people with the bases loaded, or you see him kind of losing command, you worry about him regressing to last year's Lucas Giolito. Yeah. He has come so far so fast, and you hear everybody say the same thing, and it's, boy, we've never seen a guy make this kind of transformation. Mm-hmm. And so the fear is, boy, he's not that far away from going back. Maybe he's pitching over his head. You hope that last night, you hope that the last start against the Cubs is the exception and not becoming the rule. I don't think it'll affect his all-star status. I don't think he'll start now. You hope that he bounces back from this, but you'd like to see a little more command, a little more confidence, actually. He talked a good game afterward, but I'd like to see confident Lucas Giolito take the mound again.
You could actually make the argument that this was his third straight so-so start, yeah. And what you don't like to see is in these last three starts, 11 walks. The walks have ticked up a bit here. As far as the All-Star status, you just look at his AL rankings, and a 2.87 ERA, that's seventh best in the American League, a 3.2 WAR, third best among starting pitchers, a 1.07 WHIP, 10 wins, if you're still into that, tied for the most in the American League. He's an All-Star. Those are All-Star numbers. I don't think he was ever going to start just because you have Justin Verlander, and I don't believe he started the All-Star game yet in his career. But I brought up those three starts. Let's also take a look at those lineups, some of the Red Sox, the Cubs, and the Yankees. Now, unfortunately for him, before we get to the All-Star break, he gets the Twins and likely the Cubs again. So I don't know if he's going to get completely back on track, but before the All-Star break, but I think he will at some point. If we're going on a scale of 1 to 10, my level for concern of Giolito is pretty low. It's probably a 2, and that's mostly just because of what we saw last
season. That's good to hear.
Yeah, I'm not particularly concerned. I mean, let's put this in perspective a little bit here. We're talking about a so-so Giolito start where he goes 5 2/3, only allows 3 runs, 7 strikeouts against one of the best offenses in baseball. Last year, if he went out and did that, we would be throwing a parade for the guy, talking about the progress that he made, and, oh, he was so great, and it was just 5 2/3, but it was against the Red Sox, and here we are a year later, and he has built up the standard for himself to such a high level where we look at starts like last night, and we're like, oh my God, what the hell's wrong with this guy, because he was so good there for a while. So I think that's a sign of where he is and how much he's grown this year. Do I expect him to go on these crazy runs like he went on, you know, over the last month and a half or so consistently? No, it's not going to be easy for any pitcher in Major League Baseball to do that, no matter who you are. But I do expect him to find a very high, consistent level at some point. The walks, Joe, is something that does concern me a little bit, because no matter who you are, if you're walking guys, it's going to be really difficult for you to go deep into ball games and give your chance. But he did give the team a chance to win last night. They had the lead 3 different times in that game. I think that's less on Giolito last night and more on, you know, stiffs like Kelvin Herrera, who's absolutely stealing a salary from this team. This guy should have been DFA'd 3 weeks ago at this point. He is completely toast.
How long is that list of guys you've called to be DFA'd?
Have you seen the White Sox guys roster?
Yes, Kevin, I have.
I mean, they're off to a good start with Despondia.
That was a good start.
I mean,
you're right.
Send him back to wherever
huge
the hell he
hit, yes,
came
last
from.
Last night from Alonso.
Yeah, yes. Yonder Alonso, you know, didn't justify his salary for the rest of the year either. You can send him out on an island along with Kelvin Herrera. Despondia's already there. Urban Santana is already there. He's been set up there for a while. So there's just still too much dead weight
Say
on this
roster.
Say hi
to Daniel Polka.
Daniel Polka hopefully will never come back either. It's just, there's too much dead weight on this team right now, and that's going to bring the rest of these guys down, even when you do have a so-so start from Giolito.
Is Lucas Giolito's all-star status in jeopardy because of two bad outings, maybe three, as Joe pointed out? No, absolutely not. The kid has had a transformative season. He's totally looks like a different guy out there on the mound. So, no, three bad outings should not warrant erasing him from, you know, the all-star lineup. Not at all. I'm not concerned at all also that he'll regain consistency. I think he has totally found himself this season. He's had a hell of a run with very consistent outings, and you can't keep that up. This is going to happen. This is going to happen on occasion, and guess what? This is going to happen again at some other point in the season. I think Lucas Giolito is going to be just fine.
I don't quite get the question.
If Edbert Elzalay pitches well tonight in his spot start against the Braves, given the struggles of Jose Quintana and the health of Kyle Hendricks, what are the chances he remains in the Cubs rotation for the rest of the year?
Oh, I like that possibility, Kelly. I think that when you look at Edbert Elzalay and what he provided in his first appearance in his major league debut, tipping the cap, the crowd roaring, he was going on adrenaline, all intensity. It was fun.
It was fun. I'm laughing because I'm thinking about Javi Baez the next day tipping his cap as much as he did.
Kind of a gesture.
The guys are, yeah, they yeah. got after him a bit. They got after him. He really enjoyed
it. He got carried
there.
Away.
He did gets, get carried away.
So maybe
away.
This
he's
question,
a kid.
He's a kid.
He had a great outing. And in a big moment, the major league debut, yes.
But if this is getting a little carried away asking this question, so be it. Because this is
it
a guy
is.
Making his major league debut. But. If
Pump
he
the
is,
brakes, David.
Hold on, Kelly. Let me finish. Then you can get your.
You must be new to the show. David never pumps the brakes. All right.
I don't get to have as much fun ahead. With you guys all that often, so I have to take advantage.
Let my lead foot go. All right.
Okay.
So this is a guy. If he has a start tonight, that maybe it's a 5-6 start run here. Maybe this is something that you look at what he's able to give you a boost in your rotation, which has maybe not been what you wanted it to be lately. Jose Quintana is 0-6 in his last 9 starts. The Cubs are 1-8 in those games. I don't need to repeat those stats to somebody who covers the team on a regular basis.
Nope.
The question becomes eventually, if Alzolay shows you tonight that he can be a guy that you trust, do you have to have that discussion? I don't know that you can say flatly no. I wonder what he can offer you along the way if he has a start against a playoff team like the Braves with a potent offensive lineup. If he shuts him down tonight, he's tipping his cap, and I think that a lot of people are going to be noticing and wondering if this question is as ridiculous as everyone's going to make it sound.
Okay, so I am all in on seeing what this kid has, but there's a big difference between Atlanta's lineup and the Mets lineup. There's a big difference in coming out of the bullpen and following up Tyler Chatwood and actually taking the mound to start the game. Do I think that he is certainly a guy who could continue to start for the Cubs? He could, but I think you're also looking at a righty and a lefty, and you're not taking Jose Quintana out of the rotation. I mean, Jose Quintana 3 weeks ago, we were talking about how consistent he was and how much better he has been and how he was mowing guys down, and now he's in his rut. I think that, though, this is a shot in the arm for the Cubs. Certainly a tip of the cap to the front office if this kid pans out. And I...
Congratulations on finally developing a pitcher?
Well, yes. That's what I was going with there. I'm glad you got to that this early in the morning. does he remain in the Cubs rotation all year long? No, he's going to be there as they stretch this out to a 6-man rotation. And then you got to figure things out in September. I mean, you can't. Is he going to pitch in October for you, David?
Probably not.
Okay.
Is Quintana?
Is Quintana. So I don't know. I'm with you, though. If they have found something incredible in this kid, then, yeah, you have to, I guess, leave him in the rotation. But right now, Kyle Hendricks and Jose Quintana are not going anywhere.
That's pumping the brakes.
A perfect example of stepping up in class tonight. Todd Frazier is not the cleanup hitter for this Braves lineup. So
no, yeah. Pete Alonso for the Braves. Though,
yeah,
to be fair.
A bunch of people we've never heard of, like a Jeff McNeil. If he pitches well, I don't see the Cubs in any rush to take him out of the rotation. Maybe they're going to force their hand, and you're going to have to stick with the sixth man much longer. We know Chatwood's not going to be in this rotation for long, but if he can start to run, let's begin there, because I don't know if you could take the Mets' appearance and say that he's hot, he's on a run. Let's say he starts a run with the Braves tonight, then you could start to have that conversation. Well, what do we do once you have five healthy starters? But a lot of times baseball ends up taking care of itself, and you're going to deal with injuries. You don't always have all five starters healthy.
You sound like Joe Maddon.
Yeah. But, well, that we've seen it time and time this again. We always wonder about the lineup. How are you going to fit all these outfielders?
Yep.
Well, it just happens because baseball.
It's really a really non-sophisticated way to look at this whole thing.
Baseball happens. I don't think he's going to remain in the rotation, but if that's a decision, that's a problem the Cubs would love to have.
Yeah, that would be one of those good problems that arise sometimes. Listen, last night, as you guys might imagine, Giolito on the mound, I was paying a little bit more attention to the White Sox game. Tonight, I'm going to be focused a little bit more on the Cubs game, partially because Carson Fulmer starting for the White Sox. But also, I'm excited to see Alzolay in his first career start. I thought he was really good in relief. Not outstanding or anything like that, but very good, very promising. He throws hard. He does, you know, get emotional and fired up, which is something that you enjoy seeing as well from a young player. And this is a step up in class. Absolutely. Joe, you brought up the Braves. They have a very potent offense. It's going to be a relatively high-pressure situation at Wrigley Field. Playoff atmosphere, perhaps, between two really good teams. And I think, given Quintana's struggle, Kelly, I agree with you, it's going to take something really crazy for Quintana to get yanked from this rotation. I think that's very, very far down the road. But until I see Kyle Hendricks back and 100% in starting games again, until I see more consistency from Yu Darvish, and his health is always a question as well as how many times he's been under the knife, I think Alzolay can absolutely make a case for himself to stick in this rotation, whether it's a five-man or a six-man, or maybe even later in the year, if they get their five main starters right, for lack of a better term, he could be somebody that helps you late innings as well, which is always going to be a good thing. So I am very excited to see what he does tonight.
I'm excited too. If Alzolay has a great start, I think the chances are kind of high, unfortunately, that he could take Jose Quintana's spot in the rotation. Now, Kevin alluded to, sure, he has some time. Jose Quintana has time to get on track. Before that happens, we have to see how long it takes Kyle Hendricks to get back in the swing of things once he's healthy. But it's just unfortunate to see what Jose Quintana has become to this point, and what he was supposed to be, one of the guys that you can depend on and in the postseason and have on in your postseason rotation. And here we are at the end of June saying that he's not even in the conversation when you get to the postseason in terms of the starting rotation. So it's really disappointing, but I think the chances are high, and I think it's really fortunate that the Cubs have this kid that they can possibly use as a starter down the stretch.
Wow, very tough question. Very, very hard.
The Cubs have seven All-Star finalists. The White Sox have one in catcher James McCann. Realistically, how many players on both teams have had seasons so far deserving All-Star recognition?
Wow. So, with the Cubs, I mean, Contreras and Baez, for sure, lock. I felt like Hendricks should have been in. I don't know with the injury now how that'll affect him, but Riz is right there, and Bryant's had a good enough year, but I don't know if those two, because of who's in front of them, it's hard to argue whether they belong there or not. So, for sure, I think the Cubs have four. A week ago, I would have said five without a doubt, but I've gone down. And then I was all in on Anderson and Giolito as the two guys from the Sox, so I felt like they deserved to have those two guys. Is there someone else you could argue?
I think James McCann makes it. I think he could possibly make it. His numbers are pretty good. The White Sox, you know, Moncada has had a very good, I think, first half. You look at his slugging numbers and you look at his overall, his slash lines, very comparable to Javi Baez. He doesn't have necessarily the power in terms of the home runs, but I think if you look at his numbers, they're comparable. I would think he almost has, as much as Tim Anderson's maybe cooled off a little bit, he might have a more legitimate stake by the time they select the teams than Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson had a rough night last night, obviously 0 for 5, and then the play at the end of the game we talked about, and we'll get back to that. Could he have made the play at third base? So if I'm saying, you know, I think realistically, McCann, Giolito for the White Sox, maybe Moncada, maybe Anderson. Jose Abreu probably has as good of a case as anybody. He is,
sure.
He drilled a home run last night. That was a line drive shot. He got all of that one. He's got 18 home runs now. That's a very good first half. As for the Cubs, yeah, I think Javi Baez and Contreras, I think they're pretty much locks. Rizzo and Bryant probably depends on how much they want other teams to be represented and who those players are. But I would think that probably not both, but maybe one of those things.
Right.
I mean, Cubs probably end up with three All-Stars. And the White Sox, probably two, maybe deserving to have three.
I know it's not the question that was asked as to who was deserving, but as far as what the All-Star game is all about and what fans are wanting, I mean, Anderson and Baez are the kind of guys you want in there, and a Contreras as well, who you
want them to be at the showcase
guys,
for the game.
You want somebody to yell at the opposing catcher if he hits a home run.
But how much fun would that be to watch?
And Alex Colomé has a good case to make, too, because I don't think he's blown a save yet.
When the entire Cubs outfield are finalists, kind of makes you wonder about this entire process. Really, some part-time players are going to be all-star finalists, but it just shows what Cubs fans will do. They're just going to vote in their players. Now, in I go Baez, Bryant, Contreras. I can't put Rizzo in. Just it's first base. First base in the National League. You have Pete Alonso. He's already broken the rookie record for Mets with homers. Freeman, yeah. Muncy, Josh Bell's having a great year for the
Josh
Pirates.
Josh Bell's having a fantastic
year. Yeah. I would also put Hamels in there to represent the Cubs.
Absolutely.
As a sub-3 ERA. So four Cubs, Baez, Bryant, Contreras, and Hamels. Then with the Sox, I'd go with McCann and Giolito.
I am appalled that Yoan Moncada's name has not been mentioned yet in this segment.
Can you go three Sox?
I mentioned it, Kevbo. Thanks for listening.
Yeah,
he did.
I'm not going
to
lie.
I compared him to Javi. You look at the slash line, they're very similar.
I pick and choose what I hear during this segment, Dave, and I think
I've
you know
never
that.
Noticed that.
I'm trying to
Ray won't shut up over there.
Put a little bit more emphasis on my point here by maybe, you know, borrowing from the truth a little bit. But Yoan Moncada is having somehow an under-the-radar fantastic season. Not only defensively has he grown at third base since moving over there, but, you know, another long home run last night from the right side of the plate, which you don't see from him enough, in my opinion. If he were on the Cubs, and the Cubs, listen, Bryant should probably be there. Baez, Contreras, no question. Hamels, I agree with you there, Joe. If Moncada was on the Cubs right now, he would have the third highest war of anybody on that roster. That's how good of a season he's having. He'd be right behind Baez and Bryant, who I think most people would agree are consensus top 10, 15 guys in all of Major League Baseball. So Moncada is on pace for a spectacular season. He should be there. Giolito should be there. McCann should be there. And like I said, for the Cubs, Bryant, Baez, Contreras, Cole Hamels.
Well, initially I had three for the Cubs, Contreras, Baez, and Bryant, but I do like Joe's point, and I will also agree that Cole Hamels has been the anchor of this Cubs starting rotation that has struggled. So
handsome, too. I love watching him every time.
Chiseled
he's
good
there.
Looks,
yeah.
I think they say.
Absolutely.
That's what they say.
So I agree there. Those four are definitely the Cubs all-stars, and I'm going with three for the White Sox. Of course, McCann, Lucas Giolito, and Moncada, because Moncada's season, just like we were talking about Lucas Giolito, a completely different guy. And he's moved over to third base.
He's handsome,
this season,
too.
And also good hair, Kevin.
I just really like that you go with Moncada, kind of like Pat Hughes goes with
Moncada.
Moncada?
I like that.
Wearing the white headband tonight.
Yeah. Jose Abreu is also, as you said, David, is having a great season.
He is.
Hitting with power, but you know, because of the position, I just don't think he would make it. But he is having a good season for himself.
Trade him.
Stop.
You can't beat that question. You can try, but you can't beat that question.
This segment brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves would like to thank their loyal fans for making this 25th anniversary so special. Thank you, and see you in October. The Bulls and Blackhawks both introduced their first-round picks yesterday, Coby White and Kirby Dach. What was your first quick impression of each guy based on the news conferences?
All right, in the interest of time, try to make it brief. So I thought that Coby White came across as exceedingly humble, and I thought that was very good. That's a good sign. For a guy who's going to be running your team, you want to be a good teammate, and he's going to be a rookie trying to fit in, and there's a lot of pressure on him probably to pick up the pace and to run this team, and I thought that he handled a lot of the he handled a lot of what was thrown at him yesterday very well, and kind of an understated, soft-spoken kid. I think that'll probably, his voice will get louder and will emerge, but his presence was definitely one that exuded sort of humility that you don't often see in high first-round draft picks. As for Kirby Dock, boy, I tell you, when I listened to him being interviewed by Danny Parkins and Nick Shepkowski yesterday afternoon, I thought I was listening to Eddie Olczyk break down his game. He is already very polished. This is a kid that gave an answer and called himself an elite playmaker. And this was a terrific answer to a question about what kind of player the Hawks were getting. And he had these digestible little sound bites already as if he was rehearsing them in front of the mirror since he was 12 years old. I was very impressed. He's very mature. He's not only going to be a great hockey player, I think he's going to be a great asset to the organization, or the organization, as they say. And the comparisons to Jonathan Toews, while lofty, and while you may be getting on me for saying pump the brakes, I get it. I'm not saying he's going to be Jonathan Toews. I'm just saying he's as serious as Jonathan Toews was when he was 19, and that's a good start to for anybody in this organization.
Kind of sounds like that's what you're saying,
wow,
is that he's the next Toews.
I have a lead foot. I had no idea. So, like, I'll start with Kirby Dock just because you that's where you started. And I loved the we had him in the booth last night on NBC Sports Chicago with Lynn and JD, and that's exactly when JD asked the question of give us your scouting report. He broke himself down so well that JD was like, wow, you sure you don't want to just step into the booth now?
No kidding.
I mean, he was tremendous. And so, yes, well-spoken, very polished. I thought he had a great disposition about him for a 19-year-old. I was getting ready to interview him right after the first pitch, and usually those guys come off and then they go over to, you know, the PR staff, if you will. Okay, what's next? But he walked right up to me, shook my hand, and said, let's do this. Like, he knew I was there waiting and he was ready to go. So not afraid of the cameras, and pretty darn good arm too. So he said he was all hockey all the time, but enjoyed watching a little baseball. Like you said, and just for time's sake here, as far as Coby White, great hair. Can we just go with that? Since we're talking about hair. Great hair.
No
love
question.
The hair. But yes, confident and humble combined. I'm just excited to see this guy get out on the floor and see how he fits in with the rest of the team. So we'll leave it with great hair.
It feels like the city has already fallen in love with Coby White. And how can you not love the story? But sometimes you think, wow, right, there's a lot of pressure on this kid. I know some believed it was just a two-player draft, but some Bulls fans also believe we're just a point guard away. If we can stay healthy, this could be a playoff team. Okay, the offense is going to change a little bit. They bring in new assistant coach Chris Fleming to help lead the charge, and now we're going to have add all this speed at point guard with Coby White. It'll be interesting to see how they handle that and if they add another point guard in free agency. And the Kirby Dock interview on the Score, what impressed me the most, 19-year-old kid, was he 18 or 19?
He's 18.
18-year-old kid that's able to shut off the phone when he goes fishing. That shocked me.
Well, he's Canadian.
I hear you.
You know, it's a little different when you're up from the Great White North. But first of all, let me just say, I think it's amusing that the two newest players in town are named Coby and Kirby. That's fun, I guess. And it's hard to evaluate these kids at such a young age on, you know, did they win the press conference? How was he in the interview? And so far, so good. But the main thing that I took from yesterday was being reminded that there is a circus clown as the head coach of the Chicago Bulls, and this guy is completely unqualified for this position. He talks in nonsensical cliches and just general BS. And unfortunately, as optimistic as I'd like to be for the Bulls and their young core and Coby White, it's hard for me to get excited when this knockoff wannabe motivational speaker is drawing up plays for you. So listen, I hope Coby White is spectacular. It's just, like I said, everybody just kind of relax and realize where we are with this thing right now.
And in the role of Dustin Rhodes this week is Kevin Zipak.
Take it easy, all right? We got to draw a line somewhere.
It's hard to listen to Coby White speak and not be impressed and just not like. And you have the chance to do that at 8:20 today with David and Kelly.
What a tease.
Oh, yeah. But it was everything I expected in the press conference. I mean, the kid has a great story, and he's very positive. Said all the right things, of course. Said he's all about winning. All the individual awards will come. That's going to come. But my main goal is to come here and win. Of course, that's what Bulls fans want. He's saying all the right things. In terms of Kirby Doc, he's the hockiest hockey guy there is. He was asked about his early impressions of Chicago, and his response was he likes how well-kept the rinks are.
I love that answer. He's right. Have you ever been to these rinks around? They're tremendously maintained.
I didn't get that answer. When I asked him about Chicago, he mentioned that the sports fans, how great they were and how much he's looking forward to playing in front of. Yes.
That was sort of
the
pandering answer.
So he worked on that answer in between the press conference and when he spoke to Kelly at Wrigley. Okay.
That's funny.
That's a 5-5.
That's great.
312-644-6767. You can text us at 67011, or you can tweet at us at Mully Haw. We will get into a lot of Cubs talk. Kelly Kroll is in for Mike Mulligan today. Mully Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.